It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And good morning and welcome to The Greenhouse Show. Halfway through hour number two as we work on taking your calls and texts this morning and answering your questions. And if you've got a question, KSL Talk is the line. There are lines open for you right now if you want to call in and jump in line, and we'll help you out. Ton, the possessor of all gardening knowledge, is standing by to answer your questions. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning.
And we're going to jump out to those calls right now, Ton. Stan has been patiently waiting in Perry. Good morning, Stan. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you today?
Doing just great. How can we help you out?
Yes, I've got a problem with some powdery mildew on my lawn in our backyard. We have a very large sycamore tree out back, and it's very shady most of the time. The lawn was in really good shape in the fall, and we noticed in the spring we wound up having some really dry patches, and then the lawn just started thinning out. But then we've noticed a powdery mildew, and I've been told that it's a fungus. I was wondering how we treat that.
Well, if it were powdery mildew, you would be seeing a white powdery substance on the grass blades that are still green. So I'm wondering, is that what you're seeing? Because powdery mildew generally doesn't kill your lawn.
Okay.
And so I'm a little bit confused, because you could have powdery mildew there and have something else actually doing the major damage. So as far as the dead patches under your sycamore, have you tried pulling up the grass to see if it's still rooted?
It's still rooted. It just seems to be very thin. It's like it doesn't have a lot of substance or thickness to it. We did do some landscaping, and as we were pulling out some of the dirt area and removing some of the grass for some landscaping, putting some stones down, we noticed that as we dug up underneath the dirt, there was a lot of, it was almost a fungus-type layer about an inch or two underneath the grass that was kind of a white substance underneath the ground, almost like it was mildewing.
That is actually, it's not super common, but if you find that in the soil, unfortunately, that also doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's causing harm to the grass. And what I would recommend doing, if it doesn't really pull up easily, that usually will exclude grubs. And have you seen any thing as you walk out there, there's no moths flying up or anything?
No.
Okay, so that would exclude sod webworm. What I'd actually recommend doing is sending about a 4x4 inch sample with about an inch of soil on the bottom, maybe an inch and a half, to the USU Pest Lab and let them take a look at it to see if they can identify a disease in there. And
okay.
You'd want to go to the border region and get some green and some brown grass so that they have a progression and in everything. Because once that grass dies, a lot of times a lot of secondary microorganisms move in that weren't causing the problem. And so just get a pocket knife or a small shovel and cut that out. And you can put it in... And you can put it in a Ziploc, but you don't want to seal the Ziploc completely so that it can breathe. And then just mail that over to Logan. And if you Google USU Pest Lab, you can download the paperwork. I think there's like a $10 or $15 fee. But you can mail that off, and Marianne or another diagnostician will take a look.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And if it is powdery mildew, every once in a while it can cause some damage like that, but it's very rare that it's more than just a nuisance, so.
Okay.
All right,
thank
Stan.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to
Bye-bye.
You with that, Tom. I've had powdery mildew cause huge problems in my garden with things like pumpkin or squash or even on peonies, things like that. I've never seen it on my lawn.
It is somewhat common to see it during the fall, to where as you walk on your lawn, you'll see a white powder on the grass blades, but it's only a cosmetic thing. In the next spring, it's almost always gone. So if you have powdery mildew during the summer, even on the lawn, that can be a cause for concern, but I've just never really seen it destroy a lawn.
Yeah, I've never even seen it on my lawn, even when it's right next to those plants that are suffering, you know.
Yeah, and there's the powdery mildew just isn't one disease. There's a whole bunch of closely related species that some of them will get on the cucumbers and some of them on the peppers and
right.
some in the sycamore. And so even though your squash has powdery mildew, that doesn't mean the tomatoes or your grass is going to get it.
Okay, Tom, got a question here from one of our texters. It wants to know if the frost that we had would cause the leaf edges on his or her new linden tree to turn brown and curl.
It could. It depends on the area they live in. If they were in one of the mountain valleys, absolutely. But it would be worth taking some pictures. And what I'd recommend doing is USU has a relatively new gardening group to where you can submit pictures of your plant problems, and then they will tag one of the extension agents across the state to take a look at them and offer some suggestions. And that's Utah Gardening Experts. And so I would like and subscribe to that. And you get people such as me, JD, Sheridan, Jerry, Mike Karen, Mike Pace, Susie Jones, lots of experienced horticulturists, and other people will chip in too. I've seen Alex Grover on there, Liz Hamilton, Cynthia B, lots of horticulture people. And so if you want the site or the Facebook page is specifically for diagnostic problems. And so Utah Gardening Experts, if you have plant problems, you can submit pictures there and you'll usually get your questions answered within like 24 hours.
Now, that sounds like a great tool for this problem and several others. So hopefully you'll take advantage of that. All right, Don is waiting on the phone in Riverdale. Good morning, Don. How are you today?
Fine. How are you doing?
Just great. How can we help you out this morning?
I got an elephant heart plum tree, and it's usually just loaded with plums. But this year, there's very, very few plums on the tree.
So have you had or any of the neighbors had any other plum trees that have died lately?
No.
Okay.
My plum tree is the only one around that I know of.
Because elephant heart is a Japanese plum, and it usually requires cross-pollination from another plum tree, another Japanese plum. So there is that, something like Santa Rosa or Beauty Plum, if you can find it, are good cross-pollinators. The other thing that could have happened is the plum's blossoms, because the Japanese plums bloom so early, could have been hit by frost.
Yeah, it's usually just loaded full of plums. I have to pick the plums off, or the branches will break down.
So, and those are the two possibilities that I see as just being really likely. Either frost, which would be the first one, or there was a plum tree somewhere in the neighborhood that somebody cut down or it died, and the elephant heart plum lost its pollinizer.
Well, I guess I better get another plum tree.
Well, and you could wait for next year and see if you get fruit on it, because there is a chance the frost got it.
Okay. But there's another question. I just got the tail end of about the calcium for tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get all that.
A blossom end draw is where you have that brown or black leathery bottom to a tomato, and it's only like half there.
Yeah.
Like it got decapitated, and then it grew this brown-black scar, and it's usually caused by fluctuations in irrigation. So the soil would be extremely dry, and then it's flooded, and then it's dry, and then it's flooded. Or it can be caused in combination with that, with cooler weather to going to hot weather. So the way around it and to treat it is to keep your soil evenly moist. Now, are you in the sandy soil areas of Riverdale?
Yes.
So you might need to irrigate your tomatoes 3 or 4 times a week for 10 or 15 minutes at a time.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, Don. Thanks for your call there. And the good news is, if you missed that, you can always go back and catch it on the KSL podcast. Just search for the KSL Greenhouse Show on your favorite podcast platform. You go back and listen to that entire segment where we talked about blossom end rot and calcium and the role that it plays there. So, all right. Well, thanks for your call, Don. Again, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back on the other side with more of your calls. Vivian and Lonnie are waiting. And if you want to check in and ask your question, KSL Talk is the line. And we'll be right back on the other side of this break with more of the KSL Greenhouse Show.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's the Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio, final segment of this hour. Of course, sitting in, as always, Tom Bettis from the USU Extension. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
And, Tom, let's take some more calls here in these last few minutes we have before the hour. Lonnie is waiting in Santa Cruz. He wants to talk about carrots this morning. Good morning, Lonnie.
Yes. Hey, that's a twofold question. I was curious, is it too late to plant carrots? And then the second question.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a twofold question. Is it too late to plant carrots? And then I planted them before twice already and have no luck, but I changed my soil this year. I put some Nutrimulch in.
Okay.
You think that was too hot for the seeds?
Well, not necessarily. The Nutrimulch is a pretty good product. In Santa Quinn, we, from personal knowledge, we have very clay soil. And so what I would do is I would grow your carrots on large, wide furrows, on the top of furrows. And I would mix that Nutrimulch into the furrow to loosen the soil, because even when you get the rocks out, it's fairly dense, and that Nutrimulch will help loosen it up. The trick to seeding carrots, because those seeds are so small, is to cover them with a really light layer of mulch, or even just a really light layer of sand. Or I've seen people plant the carrots and cover them. They'll water them in and then cover them with a board and pull the board off once a day and kind of check. And when they see a few of them coming up, they take the board off. But those carrots need to be kept moist.
Okay, great. We'll try it again. So is it too late to plant them?
It's getting to the point, but you can still put some in.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Those are good questions for me too, Beton, because I've tried carrots before and it's never worked out really well. To getting them to germinate, it's always been the challenge for me.
It has been, and I've seen people, those gels that people will put in their potting soil.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people mix carrot seed into the wetted gel and put it in to a Ziploc and cut the tip off, almost like a frosting squirter.
Yeah.
And then put that gel down and with the carrot seeds in the gel, and then just do a light mulch covering. I've seen them cover with 2x4s or boards or just a really light layer of mulch. But you can't blow the seeds away by watering too heavily, but the soil needs to be kept moist.
Yeah, I've even tried the seed tape before and not had a lot of luck with that either. I may have to try it again, just being more aware of the moisture content.
The carrots can be, once they're up, they're not bad, but as far as germinating them, they can be tough.
Yeah.
You know, one year I got the bright idea of germinating them on a mist bench in a greenhouse, and it worked wonderfully. And then I went out and transplanted them, and they grew fine throughout the entire season. Then I dug them up, and each of the carrot roots looked like a spider web.
Oh.
Because I had severed the tap root, and it rooted in all sorts of directions. And so I went and got my dunce cap out of the closet and sat down in my garden with it on. And I was like, now I know why they don't transplant these. So
should have been some interesting looking carrots, though.
Yeah, oh, they were. They would have won the freakiest vegetable at the county fair. Adam's Family carrots.
Well, let's try. It's one more call here in before we get to the break. It's Vivian in Provo. Good morning, Vivian.
We had Rufus.
Vivian?
Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Vivian.
Are we on speakerphone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you pick up the handset? We're getting a lot of echo and stuff.
I'm sorry. Are you waiting for me? I'm sorry. I was just talking to somebody.
Yeah, that's okay. Can you take your phone off the speaker and just talk into the handset for us, please?
Okay, are you through?
Okay, let's put Vivian on hold. We'll kind of get that figured out, and let's take a call from Roy in Kaysville. And Roy, you've got a question on some weeds in your yard.
I'm sorry?
Good morning, Roy. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, my lawn is inundated with bindweed, and I don't know how to get rid of it without killing the lawn.
Well, this fall, you're going to want to spray something. So what I'd recommend is, actually, J&J Nursery is a distributor for a company called PBI Gordon, who makes a product called Q4 Plus.
Q4 Plus?
Q, like the letter Q, and then the number 4, and then just plus, or Q4. So I'd stop by J&J and grab a bottle of Q4, and if it's a cooler day, you might be able to do some spot treatments in the worst areas, but you would spray that Q4 in mid to late September, and it should do a pretty good job.
Okay.
In the meantime, we need to figure out why bindweed's going crazy in your lawn, because a really thick lawn won't totally stop it, but it will choke a lot of it out.
Okay, I missed the name of the product.
Q4. Just the letter Q and the number 4.
Oh, Q. Okay.
Yes.
Q4.
Or just quinclorac, right?
Yeah. That's the active ingredient. But J&J sells that Q4, I think, right off the shelf. And if not, they can get some.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. I'll try and see what I get.
Okay. And look at your lawn management, because a thick, good lawn will help choke that stuff out. And so don't just turn to the chemicals, because there's other things that should be looked at in addition to it.
So I probably need to be watering more to make the lawn more healthy, the grass more healthy.
Maybe. It's maybe something we could discuss at the top of the hour, Dave, on lawn
management. We can talk about it, because a healthy lawn is going to help keep those weeds down.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to jump out for news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour. We'll be back for more of The Greenhouse Show on the other side.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.